of 9:23 on a Tuesday morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Make the Choice studios, brought to you by Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor. And it's a great sadness, Ira, that I couldn't make it out to celebrate the career and pending a retirement of one of the guys that is, I mean, you think of Michigan personified, Big Johnny Faulk. Big Johnny Faulk is a guy that certainly describes. And I know you were out last night.
That was one of the phrases that they did, that was used to describe him by, I think it was by Paul Schmidt. That
really?
The love for Michigan that John Faulk has is unparalleled probably to anybody. And there's a lot of people that love Michigan, and Johnny's probably at the top of the list.
Yeah, so you guys are out celebrating last night. MGO Patio, and you know, the M theme, mvictors.com's Greg Dooley was also in the house, and he's on the phone with us now to talk about that and the upcoming game for the Little Brown Jug. Greg, good morning.
Hey, fellas, what a great night last night. That was pretty cool. Ira, pretty special night, wouldn't you say?
No, it was a great night to be able to celebrate the career and the jug protection by the great John Faulk.
Yeah, it was cool. And this was not a university sponsored thing. I'm sure there will be all kinds of things for John down the line. This was a private event for some of his friends, like you said, Sam, on MGO Patio. And it was really cool. We had, like, Coach Hanlon, Coach Schmidt was up there, Coach Burton. A lot of his friends around the administration were up there. I gave a little spiel on some of the myths and mysteries of the jug.
Now, you didn't quite do the Jamie Morris Cliff Notes version. You actually cut it down to about 10 minutes. You didn't cut it down to 45 seconds. But let's tell everybody the most important thing about the Little Brown Jug, that it is neither little nor brown.
That's an easy one. That's the easiest one. But, yeah, I have about a presentation that it could go, depending if you get me going, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. I cut it down to 10 minutes for these pros. And it was fun, but that's that. So there was a little education, a lot of fun, great food, and then, as you guys kind of hinted, some people came up and just said some really some great stories, a lot of jokes, a lot of ribbing. But when it came down to it, you had some impassioned just endorsements of John, as you'd expect from guys like Bruce Mate, Paul Schmidt, and Coach Hanlon. And I actually recorded some of it, and I'll see if I can get some good quotes from those guys. But, yeah, I think Coach Hanlon and Coach Schmidt probably had the most touching thing. Coach Schmidt, as you guys mentioned, just said, look, when everyone sees everyone in that locker room and all the people that have been around this program, the one guy who personifies Michigan and being a Michigan man and everything it's about, is Faulk. And there were a few wet eyes there when he was talking about it, including on Big Johnny there. And how great is Hanlon? Ira, we both were ribbed about the quality of our dates that night by Hanlon.
I'm sure, because we both outkicked our coverage, yes.
We were abused. We were built back up. We were taken to task, and it was a fun night. It was a really fun night, guys.
Greg Dooley from mvictors.com here to talk to us about what was clearly an extremely fun and festive night. I'm curious, Greg, you, when I see you around, there's no one that knows more about the Little Brown Jug than you. I'm curious, what have you learned about the jug from John Faulk? Was he one of your biggest sources of info over the years when it came to the history of the jug?
He helped me on a few things, because one of the things I wanted to know, to figure out, was whether the jug survived all this time. Now, of course, Big Johnny hasn't been around the whole time. It seems like it at this
almost,
point.
Almost.
But the word of mouth between the equipment managers dates back to Henry Hatch and even before that, back to the early 1920s. And that was big. The other key piece was, and something I acknowledged last night, look, Big Johnny didn't know who I was when I came back and asked him if I could have a look at this jug back in the day. He may have asked around a little bit, but he said, come on down, come check it out. I'm interested in what you're doing. And he even had me come back I brought in an expert from the Henry Ford Museum to look at the jug, who found an amazing number of things about the jug. And John was always there and always helpful and has been helpful along the way. In fact, I think I speculated. I never asked him, but I actually found out a little detail about when a certain column on the jug was painted in 1987. And John actually confirmed that. Ira, if you remember, he confirmed that last night. It was actually painted on the jug in 1987, the current column that we are now out of scores on. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, they brought that up last night because it led to the next conversation, which was, what do you do next? Because they're out of places to put numbers. Now, when we had this conversation last night, we also acknowledged, at least Greg and I did to each other, if the current alignment in the new division stands starting next year, it's going to take 100 years to play 25 games. So there's going to be a lot fewer versions of the Brown Jug game going forward. But we had some discussions. There will be a new place. Somebody, whether it's Big John or somebody else, most likely Big John will get to decide where the numbers go next, because that's the next part to the Brown Jug story.
Well, and let's just hope we make that decision on Sunday or Monday and bring the jug back, because that's going to be big. Because if that thing heads back on the plane with Minnesota, that's up in the air. So I don't even want to talk about that, but it's certainly on my mind, guys.
Hey, so, Dooley, how about this? And I'm sure you've covered this before, but the danger that the jug has been in various times in its history. Was there ever any significant damage done? Was it ever close? I mean, can you take us through that? Have you uncovered any history in that regard?
I'll give you two quick points. And so the guy who found the jug back in 1903 was the equipment manager of Minnesota, a guy named Oscar Munson. And he claimed in the early 30s that a few things, that the jug was broken, the handle was broken at one point. And there's also I found one news clipping that said that the jug was damaged and then repaired, okay? Before he died, Oscar Munson in the 1960s claimed that the jug was replaced at some point. That said, there is evidence, there's visual evidence on the jug that dates it at least to the 20s and probably to the original origins, which makes it likely that the jug has survived. So there's a good chance that this is the real jug. Mm-hmm. I guess the closest call in recent years was by John Falk's daughter, Katie, who I'm calling out right now. But she in the equipment room, when they were going to get the jug out and everything, bumped it when she was a little girl. And I guess the thing was wobbling on the brink of what would have been a disaster. And Sam, it would have prematurely destroyed all my research.
Crisis averted, though. It clearly didn't fall.
Yeah, and Katie was there last night, and she believed me, because I know she hears about it, because it's the first thing I mentioned, and John pointed at her last, and we gave her a good ribbing. But it was, what a great night, a bunch of great stories, and just a lot of love for John, a man who's been great to me, and obviously has meant so much to this football program.
So did anyone, and I rib him about this all the time, but did any of you guys rib Big Johnny about what he's going to do next year? What is he going to do with this time he has on his hands?
Yeah, we talked about storyline with John Falk coming to Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. It's going to be like fireside chats with Big John Falk.
That would be incredible. I think that's a great idea, and of course, the ribbing never stops. Pete was teased about what he's going to do from his wife to everybody else. But I think he looks great, and I think he's really going to enjoy it. But, he can tell a story. In fact, he told a few last night. I won't pass them all along, but he's got a real gift. All those guys do. Ira and I were talking about it off air. Hanlon is such a skilled storyteller, and he can make you laugh. He can knock you down to size and then bring tears to your eyes in a matter of minutes. And he's got a real skill.
All right. Well, you can always keep up on the history of University of Michigan athletics by going to the definitive source for that type of info. It's mvictors.com, mvictors.com. You hear Greg Dooley on these airways every week. We appreciate that, Greg. And, of course, we'll hear from you again this Saturday.
Yeah, and I think I'll be in the tent, and I'll have hopefully a special guest and maybe a surprise, not the real jug, but maybe something that looks like the jug in its former life. And I'll explain that on Saturday.
All right. Sounds like a plan, man. Looking forward to it. See you Saturday.
See you, fellas.
All right. That was Greg Dooley from mvictors.com.
Yep, he'll be a part of the Key Bank Countdown to Kickoff twice this Saturday, once in the first hour to talk about the Brown Jug and once in the third hour for This Week in Michigan Football History, brought to you by Z-Bart of Ypsilanti.
Looking forward to it a great deal. Stay tuned, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports.